Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Half Year Report 2018-2019 Analyst Conference Call. I'm Iruna, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Thomas Avedik, CEO of Cleologics. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, and welcome to the presentation of the half year results in our financial year 2018-2019. Philipp Wirth and myself will guide you through the development of the first reporting period of the Cleologics Group. I will begin with a general review of our milestones before Philipp explains the facts and figures of our business development. At the end, I will give you an outlook for the second half of our financial year. But let's start with the highlights from the period from 1st of July to end of December 2018. Currency adjusted, sales increased by 28% to 51 million Swiss francs in the first half of the financial year. At the same time, the share of recurring revenue grew by 48%. Cleologics is also expanding its international position. With simultaneous sales growth in Switzerland, sales from business activities outside the domestic market reached 64%. Profitability was at 6%. Cleologics continues to grow and benefits from the wave of open banking. The World Wide Web marked the beginning of a new era that turned processes upside down. In the financial industry, too, the Internet allowed the first innovations to check account balances and pay bills on their home computer. In Switzerland, with Cleologics as first mover since 1996. Nevertheless, the digitalization of the banking world is still only in its beginnings. The EU Payment Service Directive, PSD2, which celebrates its first anniversary this year, is now bringing more momentum to the market, at least in the EU. This regulation requires banks to make customer data available to authorized third-party providers via open interfaces, so-called APIs. The important extension of the directive, which has been in force since mid-March, is now making open banking a reality. Innovative banks can use these APIs to build their own digital ecosystems of customers, third-party providers, and other partners, and develop new business models. A consumer's requirement is quite clear. Banks, make it easy for me and curate an ecosystem of fintech and information from my other banks. Bring it all together in a single app and make the experience seamless for me and the app secure. And Cleologics empowers its customers to fulfill exactly these requirements. As one of the leading digital banking software providers, Cleologics supports financial service providers in transforming themselves towards open banking. In keeping with our vision, we create digital leaders. As a pure player, open banking is part of our DNA. Our digital experts work worldwide on state-of-the-art solutions to drive the transformation of our clients. Centerpiece is our digital banking hub, which enables banks to meet the challenges of the changing market environment and offer their consumers a completely new banking experience. Banking becomes more convenient, versatile, and customer-friendly. The reliable and open architecture of our digital banking hub enables banks to easily integrate services from the entire fintech world. This allows banks to quickly build their ecosystem of new products and services while offering their customers a seamless user interface. The bank customer is in control and can put together a personalized package. attractive digital user experiences, simplify processes, and increase transparency. This overall offering increases customer satisfaction and, above all, opens up new sources of income for banks. Over the past 6 months, a total of 9 customers from Switzerland, Germany, and the UK have used Cralogix to position themselves sustainably for this open banking future. 1/3 of them are new customers. Among them is the St. Galler Kantonalbank. With Cralogix, the bank has been continuously expanding its digital offering for years. Corporate customers can now link their online accounting systems directly and securely with the St. Galler's digital banking. As part of this digitization strategy, the range of services for private customers was also expanded. Access to all mobile services of the St. Galler Kantonalbank was centralized on one platform. Authentication to the customer portal is done via Face ID or Touch ID. With the new SGKB app, bank customers always have an overview of their account balance and can immediately check whether they are achieving their saving objectives with HashCash. SGKB was able to significantly increase customer satisfaction with this broader offering. Same as Helaba, it's one of the Germany's largest Landesbanken with over 6,000 employees and branches in Paris, London, New York, Moscow, Shanghai, Singapore, and Stockholm. Helaba uses an intuitive dashboard to give the customer a complete view of the existing business relationship. The portal serves a supplementary channel to the extensive personal contacts in order to make information available to the customer at all times and to facilitate interaction with customer advisors. Helaba is in a position to create transparency and transfer data securely and promptly. Helaba has consistently focused on the needs of customers for simpler, faster, and more transparent processes. This digital service is therefore a real added value for the bank's customers. And with its digital offering, Helaba has gained a valuable starting point for customers to perceive it as a valuable and competent partner for discussions on digitization. The traditional bank, Hauck & Aufhäuser, also wants to become a digital leader and has further expanded its strength in the era of hybrid banking consulting. Hauck & Aufhäuser faced the challenges of digitization. For the financial institution, the most important thing was the customer journey, and the optimal customer experience, individual and personal support was a must. With Cralogix Digital Asset Management, the bank addresses the multifaceted needs of its customers and enables them to determine the investment universe themselves. Thanks to this hybrid advisory approach, client advisors are always there for investors, digitally and personally at the same time. Communication technologies open up asset management to a wider audience because they are more efficient than on-site appointments and just as helpful. Cralogix's highly flexible standard components have created a platform that enables agile development at all times. These were a few selected examples that show how Cralogix, with its broad range of products, enables banks to continuously expand their portfolio. The successful implementation are also reflected in the half-year results, which Philipp Wirth will explain next.
Thanks, Thomas. Hello, everybody. So sales were 51 million Swiss francs in the first half of the year. That's an increase of 29% in Swiss francs and 28% in local currency. Sales grew nicely across all regions, with the key market Switzerland up 9% and Europe up 30% in the first half of the year. Our portion of international sales, so the sales outside Switzerland, is now 64%. On the next slide, we outline sales by category. In the first half year, recurring revenue grew 48% and accounts now for 44% of our total sales. Our product sales accounted for 60% of total sales, which is a 200 basis points decrease compared to the same period in the prior year. And this had a negative impact on our EBITDA, as I will explain now further on the next couple of slides. Now let's turn to EBITDA. EBITDA amounted to 3.3 million Swiss francs in the first half, and that's a decrease of 1.1 million compared to the previous year of 4.1 million. The EBITDA margin was 6.4%, and that's a 480 basis points decline from the prior half year. As shown on the next slide, this is mainly due to the a decrease in traditional license sales by 2.4 million. The decrease is mainly due to timing. This means we expect higher license sales in the next half year, but also due to continued shifts to SaaS. This impact is shown on the next slide. Assuming the same sales mix as last year, the additional sales would have added 1.2 million or have added 1.2 million of EBITDA compared to prior year. Due to the adverse product mix shift, we lost 2.4 million. Again, we expect a big portion of this adverse mix effect being reversed in the second half of the year, as some larger orders are coming in with traditional license models. A couple of final comments on the P&L. Amortization on goodwill was 2.6 million compared to 0.9 million in the prior year. This is due to our recent acquisition and is the main reason for our net loss in the first half of the year. Tax expense. Despite the loss before tax, we still have a tax expense because the amortization on goodwill is not tax deductible. And finally, hey, more as a reminder, we do not capitalize R&D expenses, which is in the range of 20% of sales. Moving to adjusted earnings per share. EPS in the first half year was 0.78 Swiss francs. This compares to 1 franc 81 last year. The reason for this decline is the lower EBITDA, as explained before. Okay, that's it for the P&L, and now let's turn quickly to cash flow. In the first half year, free cash flow was minus 2.1 million. This compares to minus 2.8 million in the prior year. When you look into the details, this number includes an extraordinary high capex of 1.1 million for infrastructure in Switzerland, mainly for scaling up our internal IT. Our balance sheet remains strong with an equity ratio of 65%. And as of today, 8.7 million of our convertible bond are still outstanding. Given the current share price, we are planning to refinance the remainder of the convertible, which is due in November as of this year. We have not concluded yet on the several options that we have. Okay, that's it for the highlights on the financial part. And let me now turn back to Thomas.
Thank you, Philip. Bank customers expect their banking to integrate intelligently and seamlessly into their everyday lives. We meet this expectation with our innovative products, enabling banks to gain a decisive advantage over their competitors. And with successful product implementations, as we have seen them before, we are providing this claim time and again. However, we are not only thinking about today and tomorrow, but are also pursuing further development with foresight. We integrate the latest technologies into our products and receive recognition from the industry for this. In 2017, for example, we integrated virtual reality into the ARX so that customers can see cash flows with their own eyes. With Gravity, last year, we demonstrated how open banking allows a new kind of information aggregation. This simplifies the handling of personal finances. Our business intelligence technologies enable groundbreaking user experiences, as implemented in our latest creation, the Creologics Time Warp. The app simulates the effects of financial decisions. The visualization of cash flows helps users to make better, smarter decisions for the future. Time Warp emerged as the best of show at this year's Finovet Europe. It was the third consecutive victory for Creologics at the largest global innovation fair for financial technology. Our growth story continues. That brings me to our outlook. We can tell that the market environment for our customers is currently tense. External conditions such as the interest rate environment, decisions by central banks, regulatory changes, and not least the unclear situation surrounding Brexit are challenging for financial institutions. Nevertheless, the group is convinced that it will achieve sales of over 100 million Swiss francs for the financial year. Given the uncertainty regarding sales mix, as described earlier by Philippe, and the impact of Brexit on our UK subsidiary, the group forecasts EBITDA to be similar to or above the level for the first half of the year. The shift in the sales mix from traditional license to software as a service, SaaS, means that we will receive the order this financial year, but sales recognition will be spread over the lifetime of the contract with a negative impact on the EBITDA. Due to the continuing high depreciation charges, no net profit is expected for the full year. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attention.
The first question from the phone comes from Richard James with Edison. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I think I have four questions. Firstly, the organic growth at constant currency, if you could give a number for that, it would be great. Secondly, could you talk about how Innovis is performing in relation to what your original expectations were? Thirdly, you talked about some contracts being delayed. Could you add some color on the delayed contracts? And fourthly, could you add some color on the pipeline of opportunities, please?
Hi, Richard. Good morning. This is Philip. On the organic growth, we normally don't calculate this number. You know, the synergies that we have immediately with integrating these businesses makes it hard to do this, particularly in Germany at the moment, you know, where we before used the hosting services of this company, and now it's part of the group versus before it was not part of the group, makes it very difficult to, detangle all those back and forth incomes. So we don't do that. I think we have some information on the InOffice acquisition on publicly available, so I hope that's okay for you guys to come up with your estimations. Second, the InOffice acquisition, as outlined in previous calls, we did have a slow start right after the acquisition. Management distraction of the acquisition, some customers that delayed projects or finish the projects with no continuity, but that one comes nicely back. We are pleased at the moment with the progress we are making, and we have a good outlook for InOffice going forward.
Hi, Richard. This is Thomas for the third questions you had regarding the contracts and the ones we are working with here. I can say that we are in very close negotiations with Tier 1 banks, and we are positive that we can close deals in the next months, and from then on, the outlook covers this positive development. Overall, our pipeline looks promising. Again, the continuous shift in our product mix is somewhat a thing which we do care about, as well as the uncertainty around Brexit, where we just don't know how the market in the UK will further develop over the next coming months. Does that answer your questions?
Yes, that's great. Thank you.
The next question from the phone comes from the line of Remo Rosenau with Helvetische Bank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Looking at the P&L, cost of goods sold rocketed up from 22.8% to 26.4% of sales, almost 400 basis points. Personnel costs from 55.5% to 58%. Is that all due to product mix and the acquisitions? I mean, could you elaborate a bit on that?
Yes, so the strong growth compared to prior year is mainly due to acquisitions, and the margins are mainly due to the product mix.
Yeah, but if I remember correctly, Inofis was supposed to have pretty, let's say, lower personnel costs compared to Swiss people in Barcelona. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasoning to buy it, among others, was also to replace freelancers, expensive freelancers, which you had to hire, which was an explanation for past, let's say, high personnel costs by FTEs in Barcelona at lower costs. I mean, nothing is visible from that.
Yes, I would phrase your questions, if I'm allowed to, differently. Your question is, how do we progress on our cost restructuring within Office or with moving freelancers, particularly from Germany to Spain? And here I can say that we are progressing. We maybe progress slower than we initially anticipated, but by the end of this year, we expect to have 20 people hired in Spain, and these 20 people are ramping up at the moment, getting the knowledge, and these 20 people will replace freelancers in Germany latest beginning of next financial year.
And if I may add, Mr. Rosenau, this is Thomas Savadik, such a transformation when we are shifting freelancers to Spain in this case, it always comes with a certain period of time where we have the old freelancers still working and the new ones, the cheaper ones, where we are building up at the same time before we can reduce the more expensive freelancers. So that's a normal effect of such a transition. And but as Philip explained, we are confident we are moving the higher costs, but it takes the time.
Okay, so to sum it up, it took a bit longer than you probably hoped for, and at the moment you are in a phase where you basically have double costs, more costs because of the effect you just described.
Correct. Right.
Okay. So having said that, we should start to see improvements gradually now. And if we look at your outlook for the second half of the business year, it's not very inspiring as well. I mean, it's basically saying same as H1, probably a bit better. I mean, the SaaS impact, you know, was already an explanation for the second half of last year to be disappointing. Now, in H2, we have kind of, it's a bit more comparable than the last semester. And still, you don't see any improvement, because the same as H1 would be more or less the same as H2 last year as well. So why wouldn't you expect some improvement in the second half?
Well, we currently, as Thomas explained, we have a full pipeline with new prospects out there where we are in very late stages of negotiations. It comes down to final terms and conditions on the contract. We don't know yet two things. When exactly do they sign? And we don't know exactly, in some instances, what they are going to sign in terms of, do they want to rent, which we like them to do, or do they stay with traditional license model? We actually also sometimes delay such signatures to ask them again, can you please sign for a rent and not for a license? So the timing of this is crucial. And if you can imagine, if you have a deal out there where you can sell 1 million license for one deal, that can make or break a half year result in our case. And that's currently the uncertainty that we have on the license sale and then this product mix. Then what we also see at the moment is a little bit hesitant in the UK, where we have now the first bigger contract that may slip into the next year, where our customers really want to now first see what happens March 29th, whether the world is still turning or not. That just makes us cautious at the moment. It doesn't make us unconfident that we are on the right track, but it makes us cautious for the second half. You know, it's our DNA that we don't overpromise and then cannot deliver.
Okay, so we can assume that this is a guidance which includes a less than favorable outcome of all these negotiations going on at the moment. So it could also turn out better.
Yes.
Okay. Then my last question, you didn't mention the mid-term, long-term guidance anymore. I mean, the target was growing more than 20% per year and 15% EBITDA margin. Why didn't you mention that anymore now?
Yes, that's a good question. I think it highlights also at the moment a little bit the environment that we are in, these uncertainties that Thomas was describing and that I was just discussing before. And hey, it's also maybe a little bit the stage where we are in now at Carelogix, right? We have a lot of moving parts. We have a strong market demand. We don't know exactly how fast this SaaS shift is now going to come in. We don't know exactly what happens in the UK. We don't know exactly can we hire all the necessary people with efficient costs in time. So we now really focus on the next half of the year. We want to finish this year successfully. We then come up with an updated guidance whenever we are ready.
Okay, but these things are mainly all timing issues, not fundamental issues, no? I mean, it shouldn't change the margin target as such.
If we don't fundamentally reshape our business, and we don't need to do that, we are in good, very good position, then that should not change. then that's timing. That's correct.
Okay. So it would probably help if you would make that clear at some stage.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions from the phone at this time.
Good. So, thank you very much. And have a great day. Goodbye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you for choosing Chorus Call and thank you for participating in the conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Goodbye.